Welcome to Network 7's Mission Sunlight Chat. We are in the Chattanooga area, our backyard, for ASI Southern Union's Spring Convention 2025. We are grateful to be here, and as we look around, you can get just a little snapshot from our wide camera of the exhibit hall as we look at folks walking around, visiting with one another, and learning more about ministries and sharing encouraging words about ministries. We want to do that tonight with our friend Henry Stubbs from World Youth Group. Henry, it's a blessing to have you on our program.
Thank you, Christopher. It's a blessing to be here.
Before we start, I just want to remind our friends at home, you can connect with us at missionsunlight.org. Wherever you are, you can send us a text, 1-423-855-4877. And of course, you can email us, hello@missionsunlight.org. And most of all, I want to thank you for your prayers and your words of encouragement when you do text, when you do email. They are a blessing to know that you are there, you are connecting with us, and that you are praying for us. We're praying for you too. Speaking of prayer, Henry, why don't you begin us with a word of prayer?
You're my privilege. Loving Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we are your children, that we can call you Father because you are our Father, our Heavenly Father, our rock and our salvation. We just ask tonight, as Christopher Beeson and Network 7 and I have the opportunity to chat together, that you would just take our hearts and take our minds and help us just to be able to share a little bit, Father, just a little of the great things that you have done, that we have been able to behold, we've been able to see and be blessed by. Thank you, Father. May it be a blessing to someone who's listening just now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Henry, I'm going to tell our audience a little something about you that I personally believe, and I don't mean to make you uncomfortable. But of the men in my life, you are the top three most spiritually influential people of the men in my life. You have made an incredible impact through the ministry of World Youth Group, not to your own credit, but God has used you to bless me in an incredible way, really encouraging me to dig deeper in the Word. And so I thank you for the relationship we've had. Arlene was here a year or so ago with us,
and that
broadcast has already aired. People who want to hear Arlene's story after we hear yours can go back and search for that, Arlene Stubbs. Spell her first name so we can make sure we get it right.
It's A-R-L-E-E-N.
Right. Some people might do E-N-E, but it's E-E-N.
Right. That's exactly right.
Wanted to make sure I got it right. I'd have to look at my phone because I know it's right in there. Arlene is so special, incredible partnership. This isn't a Henry at the top and Arlene, you know, somewhere down there. They are a partner for
sure. Quite the contrary.
Sure. And in many, as you say, in the contrary, in many, many moments, she is a leader unto herself. God is using her in mighty ways to reach Cubans.
Yeah.
To reach people. I almost don't even want to say Cubans, even though you're doing the majority of your work in Cuba.
Yeah.
I want to say reaching the world, because you folks believe tapping on the shoulders and encouraging people for Jesus is something you do all the time, all day long. So it's a blessing. Henry, you haven't always been, in my words, not yours, this spiritual giant. You've been through some struggles. You've been through some journeys in life. I want to ask you to start at your childhood and slowly, not too slowly, but slowly, bring us up to the journey with the beginning of World Youth Group. Get us to the inception of World Youth Group, and we'll come back in our second segment and unpack World Youth Group. But just tell us from your childhood.
Well, thank you. It's a little vulnerable for me because I haven't done that in a while, and we'll see what happens here as I try to share a little bit with you, Christopher, and you keep me on track in terms of time. But I shudder a little bit as you say spiritual giant, because I feel like, elementary school, when it comes to knowing God, what an incredible, amazing, unsearchable God we have, and what is love, and how is it manifest, you know, in the Father and in the Son, and how does the Holy Spirit bring that to us? It's a mystery, the mystery of godliness.
Amen.
But praise the Lord, it is good to be seeking that direction in our lives. And it's made an incredible difference for us.
In your childhood, were you raised a Christian?
Yes, I was. Praise the Lord. I had really dedicated Christian parents, and they loved the Lord. They were in business. My father was a pharmacist, and worked first in hospital systems and then went out on his own and started a pharmacy. My grandfather built it. I'm the youngest of five children. We all grew up in the pharmacy working for Dad. We had a little fountain that was almost a Norman Rockwell in the back of the pharmacy, a little fountain where the whole small town came for lunch, or a pretty big portion. My grandmother made pies there, and it was a bit idyllic in a way, I suppose. But for such a good beginning. Now, my father did work tremendous hours, wasn't home a lot, mm-hmm. but my mom was very involved in our lives. And I'm very, very grateful for them. Miss them incredibly. But I didn't always walk in there in the paths that they taught me. I was the youngest. I was born in, should we even say that?
It's okay.
Yeah, so I was born in 55, and I was the youngest of five. And my oldest brother was probably on the cutting edge of the love and peace and hippie movement in California in the early 60s.
Uh-huh.
He was there at all those events, the riots at Berkeley and Woodstock and you name it, you know. So he was very influential.
I was going to say, was he impacting you?
He was influenced my next eldest brother, mm-hmm. and then I had two sisters. But all of us, all five of us, he was an influential person to begin with. He was almost a savant on the piano. He went on to get a master's degree from New York University in piano. And went to Juilliard, was a graduate of Juilliard for his undergrad. But he was a very influential person. And so, you know, his journey was kind of something that we all idolized, and it doesn't end in a good place. You know, there is nothing apart from the beauty of knowing what is true love.
So how did that impact you? What did it do to your walk and your journey?
Well, I probably stayed the good kid in the family for longer than most of us as we grew up. But there was a lot of influence in the world around us at that time, even in the parochial schools that we attended. Eventually, I yielded to the influence that was around me, and I was surrounded. My friends were into music and on the dark side and experimenting in drugs and stuff before I ever was thinking about it or willing to yield in any other way. But eventually, I saw people living kind of in two worlds. I saw people, you know, good with the Christian people and good with the church, and at the same time, you know, having another side and living a life that was, to us at that time was very free and maybe fun, maybe exciting, you know, leading in a different direction. And eventually I thought, you know, I can do both. Mm. And I went to ultimately was just finishing up high school and ended up in the same lifestyles the others, but kept it very, very among a very, very few people. Kept it very, very private. Went to a parochial college, graduated with honors, but was using every day, and at the same time was attending church once in a while, and this deceptive idea that you can be who you want to be and you can live in two lives and, you know, everything's cool, you know. But what that is. It's not reality.
Yeah. No man can serve two masters, can they, Henry?
No, it's not possible.
So you eventually, as you said, you graduated, you began a profession. Where did Arlene and your children fall into that timeline?
Well, I met this incredibly knockout girl in college, and we ended up at least me falling in love. I think she was reticent to to get into even a relationship because of her background a little bit. She had a father. She had a very dysfunctional home, and she didn't even want, when she met my family, and she was so enamored with my parents when she met them, because, you know, they were friendly and they were just really genuine Christian people, and they were very friendly and outgoing, and she never had that. Her father was was a military man, a very severe alcoholic all his life, and not a happy one, and things were chaos in her family. And so her solution, unlike her brother and sister, was to kind of hit the streets. So she was streetwise. I met her in college because her mother wanted her to go to a parochial college and meet a man. She didn't want to meet a man. And but anyway, we ended up together. We ended up getting married. Yep. after college. She grew up in Germany. Going to Germany, hitchhiking around Europe for the summer, and Switzerland and several other countries, and that was the beginning of my change. First of all, we went into some communist country, and so I cut my hair, which was to my waist at that time.
Wow!
And we were traveling with some guys I met in the 70s hitchhiking. And a couple of German guys, and we spent some time in their house. And anyway, we were traveling through the Alps, and Arlene was really car sick, so I thought. But she was really nauseated. And then she says, you know, it's been a little while since I have had my normal cycle, you know, and so we pulled into a little apotheke in the south of Germany, a little apothecary, a little pharmacy. We bought a B test, and we had gone to her aunt's house, and she was actually, her aunt sort of helped raise her when she was young. She was very, very close to her, but I'm making this a long story. Are we okay?
Sure.
All right.
It's your story.
Okay. That it is, Christopher. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, she woke me up and she said, okay, here's your urine specimen, do your thing. So I put the tablet in. I'm a nurse, so I put the tablet in the thing. I set it in the window behind the window shears, which you could see through, but it was behind there. And if you're really have the hormones of childbearing, you're going to have a circle in the bottom of the test tube. A little tube. And she went back to sleep with her aunt in the bed. They were just having a riot in there. I heard them telling stories and laughing in German. And I'm sleeping in the next room. A couple of hours later, I woke up and I told her, if you're pregnant, nobody can know it. And I set up. And immediately, you know, I'm thinking about the window and the test tube. I look towards the window. I don't even pull back the shears, and I see this huge circle in the bottom of the test tube, and I just literally, I fell back to bed, and I thought, God, no, I'm not Father Matura. I know what a good father is, and I'm not one. I can't be one. I mean, it's not where I'm at. It's not what I'm thinking. It's not, you know, and I told her, you know, Arlene woke up in the morning. She bounced into the bedroom where I am. And what's the results? And she, wow, wonderful. She was so excited, you know, and I was saying, no. Arlene, don't tell anybody. You can't tell your aunt. You can't tell your family in Europe. You can't tell anybody.
That's hard to do. Did she succeed?
So hard. She did.
Wow.
But I said, okay, before we leave this summer to go back home, you can tell your family here in Europe. But not yet in America. I gotta come to grips with this. Henry, a dad, you know. And so before she left, she announced, and her aunt was like, you didn't have to tell me. I've seen it this whole time. And it's so. But anyway, Christopher, praise God. It really impacted me.
Amen.
And I began to think about what is right and what is wrong, what is good. And I think we all have a sense of that, that God has given us. And I even though it may have been fun, the lifestyle I was living was not really fun. It was not lasting. It was always a search for, you know, something else that was fun and thrilling and better. And it's not a good street, particularly when you're looking at things like substances to aid the fun experience, and you're looking for more. You know, where does that lead? So praise the Lord, it really helped me to think. And ultimately, I'm not sure I could say I came to grips with it, but I was as ready as I could be. Wasn't really seeking God until our firstborn, who was a boy, a little precious, precious little boy, was born.
I'm going to pause you there.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and get you connected forward to World Youth Group, because we want to hear about that as well.
Sure.
Thank you so much for joining us today for this special Mission Sunlight chat with my friend Henry Stubbs. You want to connect with us, missionsunlight.org is one of the ways you can do that. You can give there. You can send us an email, find our numbers. We'll be back with more Mission Sunlight chat right after this.
Being a media missionary can mean many different things.
It means the love of a home at the heart of the planet, the intrepid spirit of a village, and the vibe of a great metropolis. It means camera one and camera two. It means transforming a school, orphanage, or hospital. It means fire, rain, ice, and snow. It means gifts by the dollar and by the check. It means donations that roll and donations that fly. It's a movement on a trail or down a motorway.
It means family.
All of us together.
And individually.
It's who you are, or who you are becoming. And to her, it's a simple gesture that means hope. Whatever it means to you, being a media missionary means more than you might think.
Welcome back to Mission Sunlight Chat. Henry Stubbs is our guest for today's segment. Henry, you've shared quite a testimony from your childhood up into fatherhood. I remember some of those questions, even though I was in my mind prepared to be a father. I remember some of those questions are gripping your heart about how am I going to influence this life?
Yeah.
How am I going to be a dad?
Right.
So there you are. What did it do to you?
Well, it drove me, particularly the night of our son Oliver, his birth. I came home. He had a couple of things that were going to require some surgery, and it just broke my heart. And I came home, and I just fell on my face on the floor, and I said, God, if you're there, why should you listen to me? But here I am, and I need help. I need you. I need to know, first of all, who you are. I don't know for sure that you are. I think so. But I need to know for sure. Are you there? Do you hear me? Can you help me? And God said to me, it's okay. And I said, how do I get to know you? And I had looked at some other religions and some other forms of spiritualism, spiritual experience, let's say.
Sure.
But nevertheless, I had a Bible somewhere, you know, in a box, and I was impressed to get the Bible and open it. And praise God. I mean, when you open the Bible, Christopher, I know you know this, but when you open the Bible, when you pray, God hears you.
Amen.
Every sincere prayer.
Amen.
God doesn't hear rote, repetitious, you know, whatever. I mean, he hears them, but it's not meaningful. But when you're When you're crying from your heart, when you're praying, when you're sighing, when you're in need, God hears. And number two, when you read His Word, He speaks. Yes. And you begin to hear the voice of God.
And He puts the words you need to hear before you.
Absolutely. And it's not black and white on a piece of paper. It becomes a voice.
Yeah.
And it becomes personal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at a verse that says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I have called thee in righteousness. You know, and I just happened to turn to that, but wow, when you hear that, you've called me Lord? And that's exactly how I got into ministry.
Okay.
We felt that calling.
I'm going to kind of speed us up into World Youth Group. You and your wife were working with the youth of your church.
Yes.
You did a mission trip.
Yeah.
To the country of, was it Cuba
Chile.
First? Right, it was Chile.
Uh-huh.
But eventually you ended up in Cuba.
Yes, we did.
And ran into all kinds of challenges there. We don't get into all of those, but for a number of years you were taking this group.
Yeah.
Working on a basic model of mission trips, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the Lord said, hey, I want to do a new thing. What was that new thing?
Well, it actually...
Because it was Westminster Youth Group,
it was Westminster
right?
Youth Group. It was a little church plant in Westminster, South Carolina that my mom and dad had planted.
Uh-huh.
And the one youth that we had in the beginning didn't want to be there. He was kind of like compelled to come by his parents. And he was running in a crowd that didn't want to, wasn't a church crowd. But because we were doing something cool and we were going to Chile and we were climbing a volcano and building a church and whatever, hiking in the Andes Mountains, he got all excited. He invited all of his friends. So we had quite an unusual group of youth.
Let's just say they were eclectic.
They were very interesting and very eclectic. But nevertheless, they... we did that for 12 years, and in 2011, we had an incredible experience. We just felt like, you know, what are we? Are we youth leaders? Are we, God, are you calling us to be missionaries? And I was very busy in my career at that time in the hospital. I had gone into hospital administration, and it was just torn and super busy all the time. And so we took a week to actually take off. With no agenda, but to fast and pray and say, Lord, lead us.
Okay.
And God did lead us, and out of that grew a new vision from 2011 to become a nonprofit organization, corporation, and a 501c3, and to do four things in Cuba to minister to impoverished and broken people and to bring them hope. And that was to train Cuban youth to go out and live full-time among these people in unreached, let's say, unreached cities, cities where there's nobody really looking for the soon return of Jesus and the hope that we have in Christ. And then, so actually support the youth, the graduates that want to leave home and family and friends and work and church and go out and live among those people and work for our organization. We would support them to go out and live full-time in those areas. And number three, to bring down youth groups from America that need an experience, need something in their life to help do harvest campaigns for Christ, that to preach the Word of God and to bring the gospel to these people, together with the Cuban youth that are out in the city.
Right.
And then number four, to establish an actual fellowship, a church, a vibrant group of people and church family in that city, in that town.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've kind of expanded the mission trips for your local church to a number of churches and schools that could come down to Cuba, right?
Yeah, and WYG, Westminster Youth Group, became World Youth Group, right? And that's our name that we incorporated under.
And then you're also training and enabling
A
number of youth and young adults and maybe even some older adults to be Bible workers in unreached cities in a powerful way. And just a few years ago, that was what, 40 or 50 churches that cities that you had gotten into? Is that correct?
Yeah. In the first dozen years, we, I think, planted six ultimately thriving churches. But in the next 14 years, from 2011 until now, we planted over 80. Working in 80 cities with 160 workers. So it was exponential growth for us in Cuba.
So I'm doing the math on that. Is that 130? Total?
No.
Oh, you mean you went from 50 to 80?
We went from originally 6, and by from 2011 until 2025, so 14 years,
okay.
we planted another 80 in the 6. It ends up being 89, I think. So
okay.
We planted 83 in the last 14 years.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Reaching cities that didn't have Jesus.
Yeah, and bringing hope and people.
And health.
Christopher, the stories. Yes, and health. Because we use a very practical gospel. We go in, we teach, there's not pharmaceuticals. And we have the beautiful message of health that's biblical, that's been given particularly, to our church. And so we have workers trained to go in and relieve suffering and using simple natural remedies, charcoal and hydrotherapy and massage. And it's amazing. It's amazing what God has done.
Henry, if people want to learn more, because time is running low, but if people want to learn more about World Youth Group, how can they connect with you?
Okay. We'd love them to go to our website, worldyouthgroup.org.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm very happy if you would like to post my personal contact information, it would be fine.
Sure.
Be welcome to do that.
Tell us what you want us to say, worldyouthgroup.com, and maybe a phone number or an email. Why don't you give an email?
Okay. Go ahead and send it right now until we get that connected with the website.
Okay.
Send it to henry.stubbs@gmail.com.
Okay.
All right.
And we'll add that to the bio, and people will be able to look that up later on if they're driving or they're exercising.
Good.
Whatever, however they're
Good.
Listening.
Yeah.
We're going to come back in a moment and find out what's next for World Youth Group. Give us just a moment. For those of you listening and watching, thank you for joining us today. I want to ask you, if you're being blessed by the program, any of these programs, would you click the share button and let someone else know that you're being blessed and that you'd like to encourage them to listen and learn and hear more of these stories behind mission and ministry? Thank you so much for sharing. We'll be back with more Mission Sunlight Chat.
Our salvation is a day-to-day matter, isn't it?
The real principle of the Sabbath is reconnecting ourselves with the Creator.
We must learn to abide in Jesus now.
We move ahead with our mission objectives, recognizing that we are serving together the Most High God.
Welcome back to Mission Sunlight Chat. Our guest, Henry Stubbs. Henry, mm-hmm. It's been encouraging to not only hear your story, but the story of World Youth Group. I know there is a lot more detail that you could share. It's hard to compact it all into a half-hour podcast.
For sure.
But there's things that are happening now. Share with us just briefly the what's next for World Youth Group. What is God doing? Because I know it is God doing it.
Absolutely. Christopher, we just got back from, we've been fasting and praying about 6 weeks. What would God have us do going forward from here, considering that there are 200 cities left with 5,000 or more population that don't really have an active, vibrant presence mm-hmm. of Bible-believing people getting ready for Jesus to come. And so we have been very impacted by that, and we have spent time in prayer over that. In February, we spent 3 days just coming together and planning and praying. And out of that grew a new vision, and I would love to share that with you. It's just very, very brief, but it's mind-boggling to me personally, because we've been planting about 5.7 new churches per year. What took 14 years to get 80 churches, and we have 200 to go, we would be 105 years old if we continue that rate before we reach all of the cities in Cuba. And we feel called to reach all of the cities in Cuba. So here it is. The vision is to establish a thriving, mission-sending church in every unreached city of Cuba in 5 years or less.
Amen.
200 cities, 5 years or less. That's
That's by the grace of God.
Buying 200 houses, finding and training another army of 400 to 500 people to be able to bring that together. But if we believe that Christ is coming back soon, do you believe that, Christopher?
Amen. Amen.
Then whether this is an impossible mission in the eyes of man doesn't matter, because Christ will enable it to happen.
Yes, he is able.
He is
where
able.
We aren't. Everything we do, he is able.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Henry, if you want to just turn to the camera there, and for those that are watching that can see you, those others will hear you. Share an encouraging word just in the last minute of our broadcast.
I'd love to do that, and I just don't know who's listening. I would love to know who I'm talking to right now. But I want to tell you this, that God doesn't call people because they're qualified, because they're experienced, because they're able or ready, or even feel like that they can. But God does call, and he is calling all of us because he loves us and because he knows that there is more. He made us. He put us together. He knows what's in our DNA. He knows what we can accomplish by his strength and by his power. And I just pray that you will just let it go and listen to God and open in the Word, and he will speak to you. He will absolutely let you know that he has a plan for your life, and it's wonderful. God is coming soon. He needs you in his army, and he's preparing a place for you to do a work that no one else can do.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Henry. Henry Stubbs, World Youth Group, our guest today on Mission Sunlight Chat. Want to remind our listeners and viewers, you can connect with us at missionsunlight.org. You can also text us at 1-423-855-4877. You can email us at hello@missionsunlight.org. We do enjoy hearing from you. To know you're out there, you're listening, connecting with us, send us your prayer request. Send us suggestions for a guest for the program. Just any thoughts you have. We are blessed when you connect with us. Know that we are praying for you. We solicit your prayers as well. And as we close today, I want to have a word of prayer for each of you as well. And Henry, for World Youth Group too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you've opened heaven's storehouse for us. That you have a great desire to give us blessings if we would only open our arms to receive them, to find you on a daily basis, and to be transformed by your Spirit. Thank you, God, that you are God, that you care about us, that you have a plan of salvation for each one of us. You have a plan for each one of us. So as we close our program today, we ask for your continued care on our listeners, on our viewers, and also on this incredible ministry, each of the Bible workers at World Youth Group, Henry and Arlene, their administrative team, their donors. Lord, hold them all in your righteous right hand, that they would be about their Father's business. We pray this and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Henry, once again, thank you for joining us today. It's been a blessing to hear from you.
Thank you, Christopher, for having us.
Thank you again for joining us. Those that are watching and viewing, this is Mission Sunlight Chat.
This has been a Beeson Brook production in association with Network 7 Media Center. Executive producers, Christopher and Rebecca Beeson, Roddy Scarborough, Don and Nancy Van Ornum, Berlin and Wayne Starr, associate producers Jordan and Ashley Wagner, Gary and Dina Bartle Wagner, your host today, Christopher Beeson, director of production and audio engineer, Jordan Wagner. To suggest guests, topic questions, to pray with us, or to give, visit missionsunlight.org or text us at 423-855-4877. You may write to us at Network 7 Media Center, Box 25468, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37422. This has been a production of Network 7 Media Center.